Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at on the earth or anywhere else in creation or the physical realm here. Today we are doing the third episode of Meet the New Kids with Eric Oak. And Eric is a real adventurer and united supporter with the wonderful Worldwide Educators. He spent much of his youth researching and studying the systems of this world to try and figure out and learn something of a real nature about this world and beyond. In this radio show, he's going to share a bit about his journey up to now and how he's come to know about the new presentation and why he supports it. So, Eric, do you want to start off by sharing today something specific about how you came into this life and a bit about your journey and up until now? And Kelsey's here with me, along with Dean Val and Tim, Tell It Like It Is Tim from Oregon. And so we'll ask you a few questions and see who else joins us. We're live now all around the world on Blog Talk Radio, so there'll be lots of people listening and we can have some fun with it.
Sure. I'd be happy to share. Hello, everyone. So my name is Eric Oak. I'm currently 26. On Friday, I'll be 27. I is a free being of real light, born as a young black man in Haiti, currently living on the east coast of the United States of America. I became an American citizen when I was around 5. My mother went through that arduous, long process for me to get my citizenship when I began living with her in New Jersey around the same time. I grew up in New Jersey with my mother and stepfather. I was a pretty shy kid growing up, mostly kept to myself. It was rare that I would play with any of the other kids in the neighborhood I lived in. Even though I was shy, I was also intensely curious about so much, everything around me, really. I always wanted to know what this was, what that was. One of my most favorite gifts I ever received when I was younger was a book called The Big Book of Science, and I just loved it so much. It was super cool to me. It was a compendium about the world that intrigued me so much, and I ate it all up. Along with it came some very pertinent advice from my stepfather, and that was to observe, to look and listen, and try to learn as much as I can from everything I could. And I definitely took that advice and ran with it. I started trying to learn as much as I could, but it was about 2 years later, I think, that I would say was one of my beginnings. I was maybe 7 or 8 around this point. I don't remember the exact age because I don't particularly pay too much attention to the passage of time. But I was around 7 or 8, and I was watching the first Pokemon movie, if anybody knows what that is. It's a little kid's movie, a little kid series. But I was watching the first Pokemon movie by myself in our family's TV room when one of the characters in the movie asked another this question that was just so profound to me. And then for a very long time after, he asked, "What is my purpose?" I stopped the VHS tape, and I immediately ran to my stepfather, and I asked him the same question. And I could only imagine his reaction, a little kid just asking a question like that. But I was very grateful to the response that he gave me because it really helped me a lot. So the response he gave me, he said, "Well, you're free to decide your own purpose." And I was just internally floored. And then he goes on to give some examples like how some other people feel like their purpose is being a doctor or trying to invent something new or helping the world and or even worshiping God. And he even took the time to, even though he was a semi-practicing Christian, to tell me how this God idea is different for many people. And in retrospect, I'm super grateful for his response because not only did it leave things open for me, but also maintain my personal freedom of choice. And that's super important to me. That was it then. And after that, I dived headfirst into trying to learn as much as I could about the world, the universe, existence. looking back, I had much less fear as a child researching things than I did around like being a teenager or a young adult. I started studying sciences, physics, astronomy, energy, I started looking up astrology, old esoteric and occult magics from around the world and varying cultures. I started reading about philosophy, psychology, quantum physics, metaphysics, psychic abilities, dimensions, parallel universes, just reading as much information as I could. And I did this for years and years, all the way up until Kelsey introduced the new presentation to me. And most of my free time went to this reading or trying to find out all this information. Even when I was grounded and I couldn't use the internet or go to the library, I was looking up information, contemplating it, and trying to extrapolate or take from it what I intuitively knew was the most important bits. Because for me, it wasn't that I completely delved into all those subjects, but at some point with each subject that I was studying, I had an intuitive feeling that, all right, this is as much information as I need. Because what I was trying to do, I was trying to paint a picture of the world and life, because as I asked my stepfather, I wanted to find my purpose in it. My goal was to essentially see the bigger picture so then I could find my place in life and possibly pick a place that would be the best for me. Because even though I had childishly given myself the purpose of being a hero, like the ones I admired in the cartoons and comics, the question still burned in my heart. In retrospect, my childhood was fine. It is what it is, and I can see how to benefit from all those experiences, good and bad. I have a pretty big family between my mother's side and my father's side. Growing up with two similar but contrasting parenting styles did provide me with a balance. I lived with my mother until I was around 11, 12, which allowed me the freedom to decide who I wanted to be and how I wanted to be. And I lived with my father and stepmother until I graduated high school. They were far more regimented and family-oriented than I was accustomed to. Lots of family activities, eating dinner together every night. They were pretty religious too, which while my mother did and does practice Christian baptism, she didn't take us to church every Sunday. My father and stepmother were pretty active in the church to the point that now my stepmom herself is a pastor. I didn't mind going to church so much, mostly because I have a pretty good imagination and active mental body, so I could occupy myself during the long, boring sermons, but also because some of the things I did learn there and observe were good demonstrations on how I don't want to be aggressive, judgmental, and super self-convinced. I've only been to a church maybe once or twice after I graduated high school. The most recent time was last Christmas when I went to go visit my father's family. I could have stayed at their home and waited till they finished their sermon, but I was curious as to see what I would experience now that I have the knowledge and awareness I do. And it was glaringly obvious to me how unconscious so many people were. You could walk into a place like that and you can just feel the weight of everyone's attachments and all of how low their vibrations are and how dense it is. After high school, the only thing on my mind was getting out of the oppressive regime of my father's house. I'm fine with everything now, and I laugh at how much I let everything affect me back then. But back then, all I wanted to do was run away. I wanted to leave and get away from everything and start over so I could focus on living my life the way I wanted to, whatever that meant to me at the time. I decided I'd go do the college thing for a little bit and because I didn't feel like I really had any promising options. There was no way I was joining the military or could afford to travel overseas or take a year off or anything like that. So my best option was to find a college or university that would accept me with my less than stellar GPA. I found one in northern New Jersey, but because of where I was with myself at the time, I couldn't focus on any coursework. I just wanted to experience the life I felt was kept for me for such a long time. I started drinking, smoking weed, smoking cigarettes, trying different psychedelics and psychoactive drugs, you know, the normal college experience. I do recall, though, very adamantly talking to the people I was closest to at the time and asking them to please tell me if I changed drastically as a person, because I realized just how slippery of a slope doing all of those things would be. Still, though, most of my intention behind trying all of these things wasn't because I wanted to fit in or because I wanted to mask one feeling with another, but honestly, I was pretty into my spiritual, esoteric, metaphysical studies at that point, and I wanted to see if I could induce a profound experience and see if I could induce a profound experience like I had read about sometimes. I've been reading all of this stuff since I was a kid, and so I was itching for something profoundly life-changing. I remember thinking if colleges offered any courses like that at the time, I probably would have stayed in school longer than one semester. Nothing profoundly life-changing happened when I did do all of that stuff. I did have minor epiphanies here and there, just like little aha moments. But that was really it. That's all that really was. It was just kind of like empty little realizations. But I still kept doing the drugs, the leisurely recreational drugs and stuff, but they were losing their luster, and the heavy feeling of not knowing what I was supposed to be doing with my life was rearing its ugly head again. I kept researching stuff here and there until one night at like 3 a.m, I came across a webpage online that kind of sparked a curiosity in me. I definitely couldn't find that webpage again now because I don't even think it's on the internet anymore. But the first thing that jumped out to me was the title, The Truth About the ET Traders. And I was like, what is this? Mind you, growing up, it only made sense to me that there was life and civilizations on other planets, but there was just so little genuine info about aliens that I never really got into the subject too much. But this webpage was outrageous. I actually never finished reading it because there was just so much information about various alien civilizations, the different species, characteristics, behaviors, hierarchies, origins, factions, whatever, what have you. It talked about Greys, Zeta Greys, reptilians, Andromedans, Sirians, Orions, Lyrans, time-traveling aliens, and a lot of their species origins. Now, I bet some of the info was false and some of the info wasn't entirely accurate, but it did introduce the idea to me that there were groups of these beings coming here and not only abducting people like I saw in the movies, but also leeching the planet of its natural resources, and that the government has known about this for a long time and that they totally helped them do this. My drive to become a superhero was kicked into overdrive. Something had to be done. Why wasn't anyone doing anything about this? Back then, I was like, man, I have to seriously evolve or fully come into my higher self and manifest here and blah, 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 blah. Power idea this, power idea that. I just felt like somebody needed to take on the bad guys. And around the time, and around that same time, I came into contact with Kelsey. And it was really cool because immediately I could tell she was different than pretty much all the other people I've met up to that point. And then it was confirmed because one of the first things she said to me was, and she said it this way because this was maybe a month or two before she was introduced to the new presentation. And she said, I think our souls know each other. I think maybe we've known each other in a past life. I was like, who is this? And can we be friends? This was maybe a month or two before she was introduced to the new presentation. And she shared with me a website about something called Kelontic Science. And I'm not going to get super into it because it's honestly just more of the same ideas repeated in the spiritual systems and stuff. But what I did take from it was important because up to that point, my view of life was much more limited than I thought. Because throughout all of my personal studies and stuff, I utilized this model to view everything I was learning. And I'll just explain it to everyone. Now, I call this the bubble model. You can kind of view things like that. Well, rather, it helped me view things like that. So imagine the Earth and the universe and the stars and all the things that people think is all there is. And surrounding that would be the next dimension full of whatever it's full of. And surrounding that is the next one and so on and so forth. And now this Kelontic stuff was saying that there's only 15 of these layers, and that's it. And for me, being me and ever curious, I had a thought. What is all of this in? Like, if that's it, it has to be in something. Because the way I was imagining it, like bubbles within bubbles, it has to be within something, right? there has to be more. what's outside of that last layer? Just pure chaos, entropy. Nothingness, what is there? And then and after mulling this idea over and over because I just needed to know, like the next day or the day after, Kelsey messaged me and asked if I've ever heard of Reba's Arts. And I said no. And I was like, Reba Zartaris, that's a weird sounding name. I told her, no, I don't really know. And she shared a website with me. She shared a link to one of the books. And I didn't read it immediately. I did read some of it. And of course, like a lot of people, it seemed weird. It seemed a little off to me. But I wasn't totally put off by it because it had this feeling to it that I hadn't felt. Like, I felt a certain way about it. I hadn't felt with any of the other stuff that I was researching or reading or learning about. And I wanted to know why it felt like that. But being wishy-washy, going off and on, learning and reading the new books and stuff, it took me a while to fully commit to learning and this adventure that I'm on. But 3 years later, here I am on the radio show sharing with all of you. And that's about it.
Wow. Thanks, Eric. That's really cool to hear. You spoke really well, and yeah, you've been through a lot of stuff, and it's cool that you got to meet Kelsey physically, and a lot of people, they find our stuff online, and you got to meet Kelsey, and she said some funny stuff at the time, but yeah, you came around, and it's cool, and yeah, I've known you, Eric, now for over a year, and it's really cool. You know, we did YouTube videos a year ago. You can find them, Kelsey Lynn Brown's YouTube channel, and we've done lots of radio shows, and yeah, it's cool to hear. And do you want to say something, Kelsey, or ask Eric a question?
Well, that's fun, Eric. I thank you for that very quick story about your life. There's a lot there, so people can look forward to reading your book eventually, or you can maybe make some short series about your life here, because there was a whole lot that you've been through and you went over very quickly, and I imagine a lot of other people are looking at all these different stuff, and it's just stuff and it's references, so it's cool that you were able to see through all of that. And yes, I've met Eric a couple times physically up there in New Jersey, and we had some fun sharing there, and yeah, shared with Eric this adventure, so it's so cool that you can see what we're doing, because a lot of people I know and I've met physically, it's almost like it's they can't see it because they've met me physically or known me while my body has grown up this lifetime. So yeah, you're so fortunate, lucky you. You came here to do this and you can see it, so just hold on to it, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate to see more from you. And I saw you have a website now. Oaktea.strikingly.com. Definitely will be great to see more from that, and whatever images or writings you post on there, and just to be an ambassador for the youth and the Africans and the young Black men, it's very important. So I appreciate for everybody that you will touch going on and forward with this, and people can contact you, and you're young too, so you have great references and why you have done things and why you haven't done them, and you can share your views, and I know a lot of people will appreciate it as they hear this recording, so thank you.
Yeah, and Eric,
yeah, of course.
I was just going to say, you know, one thing you mentioned earlier was how, you know, you heard the bubble theory you referred to, how there's, you know, bubbles inside bubbles inside bubbles that must be inside something. And now that you're aware of what Dwayne and what we're presenting is the real universe is, you know, outside of cause-effect creation, do you want to share with people how that maybe was some kind of confirmation that what we're doing makes sense and that life does make sense and, you know, everything else here in creation is just created stuff?
Yeah, it only makes sense to me to support what we're doing. And a lot of times, how should I say this? It only makes sense to me to support what we're doing because a lot of I've learned how to recognize things that have real value. Like, how should I say this? a lot of things here on this earth, we'll just say, we'll keep it small for a bit, a lot of things here on this earth and the systems are feel very stagnant and without life, like devoid of life. And what we're doing feels alive, sharing the real knowledge. We're in a very active position. Sorry if I'm not answering your question correctly, but what we're doing, we're in a very active position. And it's easier to see when you compare it to all the to the systems here on the earth. They keep you in a very passive position with yourself and with your environment. Just wait, just pray, just wish, just sit there and wait for somebody else to solve whatever situation you're going through or figure things out for you. And what we're doing, we're in a very active position. And a lot of times we're figuring things out for ourselves, seeing things for ourselves, comparing things for ourselves. And, you know, under the expectation that nobody is really going to do live your life for you, you know, nobody can live your life for you. It's your life. I don't know if I was answering your question.
Yeah, no, that's a cool view, but yeah, I mean, trying to see if you could explain to people how, you know, the comparison of all the things you learn, like the bubble theory and the spiritual stuff that you've learned about, and just compare that to what you're now aware of with what Dwayne is referring to with the real universes and the all is that life is.
Oh, I see. So one of the best comparisons I can say, I can make about what Dwayne has shared with us, and what I've had learned, what I was learning, is just the very straightforward way that it's presented. Because with a lot of the older systems, there was like words that just words that didn't really, you know, you had to go search for their meaning, or like it didn't really have any meaning. Let me see if I can get an example for you. So like, soul, the word soul. If you just say the word soul to somebody, they have this idea of it, or they don't have this idea of it. But really, it's just it's not as straightforward as saying you are a free being of real light or you are real awareness. For some reason, to me, that seems far more straightforward. At least, even the words seem far more straightforward and to the point than saying you have a soul. Like that, it's hard to explain, but. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I understand what you're saying, and I encourage our listeners to do what Eric has done and investigate and read the material that we're sharing with people. And one cool thing that I really encourage people to read, and it won't take long, is the All Solar Research Vessel and Self-Sufficient Communities business plan we have, so that people can understand that they too can have a real purpose with us that supports the natural environment, which supports all of us here on Earth and through all of life. And so you can join us and have these and be a part of these wonderful projects, like I said, to support the natural environment instead of getting some job in the business world that is destroying the natural environment. So Eric is a huge contributor to what we're doing, and he will be even more so in the future. And he has a radio show on our station here called the Africa Show, or what are you calling it now?
NUE, the Africa Report. NUUE.
Yes,
semicolon, the Africa Report.
Yeah, the Africa Report. And you can listen to that on the same website here, blogtalkradio.com/KelseyLynnBrown. And on the last episode, Eric, you talked about some cool things that that people are doing in Africa with the natural environment, which is our focus here. It's like step one is to support the natural environment, which supports all of us, and it's really cool. And Eric, you've done some investigation into some people who are doing cool things like growing plants on walls and all sorts of cool things, just real simple to support the natural environment, because it's easy to relate to people that makes sense to support what supports you. And there's lots of people out there that are actually doing that. And so what we're doing is we're creating a position so that lots of people can do that. And it's really cool. It's really fun to see that you're having fun with that, Eric, and stepping up, because now that I know you pretty well, Eric, I can see that you don't want to work a boring 9-to-5 job anymore that's destroying the natural environment. And so you're having fun creating a position for yourself to where that you can have a real purpose here while you're on the earth, which is to support the earth and the environment here and all those who survive with it, the real air, real water, and real food. So it's super cool. It really is to see you doing something. And did you want to share something about your last show on the Africa Report, or just how you what you saw when you learned about the All Solar Research Vessel projects, and you know, just a comparison that you got of you know, being able to contribute to that instead of, you know, some giant big corporation like Amazon?
Yeah, sure. You know, to me, it only makes sense to support the all-natural environment. For one, that you could just take the idea of that, and that just, it's so straightforward, and it only makes sense to support what supports you. We all live, well, we're all living here on the earth right now, and this is the environment that most people, that you find yourself in, you know, and it only makes sense to me to support that. I know, I remember watching a movie a long time ago, and one of the characters, it was a superhero movie, and they were fighting some big bad guy or whatever that wanted to destroy the galaxy. And one of the characters said this sentence, and it was really funny, but it was true. He said, we have to go, you know, resolve the situation. And they're like, why? And he's like, because I live in the galaxy that he's trying to destroy. You know what I mean? We live here. It only makes sense to support the natural environment. All this air that we're breathing, all the ground that you're walking on, the food that you eat, it doesn't make sense to destroy something that is supporting you. And I think the All Solar Research Vessel is super cool. Everyone should take the time to totally read that business plan, because it's going to touch the whole world, and it's going to be a real opportunity for so many people that want to be a part of something that can provide a real benefit for everyone in the world. I can't wait to help with that too, as well. Whatever I can get my hands on. And I think it's so much better to be with you guys than like supporting some nameless, faceless corporation that really only cares about fake paper money.
Cool. Thanks, Eric. And yeah, you're not just an all natural supporter, you know, here on Earth, but you're a real explorer, like I read in the description of the show today, and you shared with us in the world via the internet some of your experiences and other places in life on the real side life is, which is in your dream visions, or most people call dreams, which are real experiences that everybody has and can recognize. And yes, Eric, you've had a lot of these experiences. Would you like to share some of them, and maybe some that relate to the natural environment, or just becoming more aware, and we can go off what you say and have a fun talk about that, and then maybe we can go to some callers too. But yeah, did you want to share some real side experiences that you've had with seeing that new you, new sound, which is the real connection to the true reality life is? And yeah,
sure.
Go ahead.
Let me see, because I have a lot of them recorded. I will choose one that I think will be the best to share. So give me, bear with me a moment. Well, I can share, I do share this one a lot, but it was very profound to me at the time and still is. So around the time when I first started singing the new UUU, I was tentative, but I wanted to, you know, see what all of this was about. So I sang it, and that night, okay, well, I should give you a comparison. When I was younger, growing up and stuff, I was always a very avid dreamer, and I had some very interesting dream experiences, what I thought were dream experiences at the time. You know, flying, a lot of them were, well, one of them was a premonitory dream about 2 years ago. Two years before I met my stepsisters, I had a experience where I saw them and what they looked like and how old they were and stuff like that. And 2 years later, I met them in this waking life here. But when I started singing the new UU, it totally changed my perspective in my dreams and what we know is the real side. Because before, my perceptions were all hazy, kind of unfocused, very quick. But when I started singing the new you, I was very present there, aware. my senses were heightened. So one of the experiences I had, I sang the new you, and I found myself in my apartment at the time, and I found myself in my apartment at the time, and I was sitting on the couch, and I was looking around. It was all dark, and I saw a young child, like a baby, sitting on the couch, a young black baby sitting on the couch, and I looked at him, and he looked at me. There was a young woman on the other couch next to me, and I didn't pay her too much attention. And then the scene shifted to an occurrence that happened beforehand. And I was driving in my car along the highway with an older black individual in the passenger seat next to me. And he was giving me directions, but the directions were kind of off. He was telling me to turn here and there to the point where he distracted me so much. I drove the car over the highway off the cliff and crashed. And then the dream experience shot back to my apartment where I was looking at the young baby. And I'm looking at the young baby, and I go into the kitchen, and in the kitchen is this little anthropomorphic sunflower dancing. And it was so cute. I patted it on the head, and then I woke up back in my physical body. What I took from this experience was myself, the personal self, in the driver's seat of the car driving, as in I'm the one that, you know, directs my life. The older gentleman in the passenger seat kind of represented my old way of living, my old lifestyles and values and things like that. And if I followed along with those values, then I would meet a bad end and crash and burn. But if I tried something new, then I could be like a young child, unencumbered, like the baby that I saw on the couch. And I could be jolly and free, like the little sunflower that I saw in the kitchen dancing.
Yeah, wonderful. That's super fun, Eric. And yeah, it's cool that the new you is beyond cool, really. It's so wonderful that Dwayne is here and sharing it with people, the real connection to the real universe is in your real awareness. And so we can use it. And then on the real side, it gives us the opportunity to get objective views of what is happening here with our personal life here and creation from our real awareness and the guides that give us these experiences so that we can become more aware. and it's so cool, and you have a lot of cool experiences, and in a way it gets you more focused. Like you said, you don't need your old ways of doing things that you've you know, been doing the way you've been doing them this lifetime, and you can be more focused on being real and wonderful and sharing what makes sense with people. So yeah, it's super cool, and like you've got a real focus now, which is supporting the natural environment that supports all of us. So did you want to share another experience?
Sure, I can. But I wanted to say first, for people that are looking at the new book and the real knowledge and the stuff that we're sharing, it will help you to just put all of the ideas that you have about this world, this life, and yourself on the shelf for a moment, because all of that can really get in the way of you seeing what we're sharing clearly. Yeah, you know what I mean? the little ideas, they're kind of like gnats flying in your face. But sure, I could share another experience. Let's see. One of my favorite ones to share is this one. I sang the new you. I found myself on the real side in my apartment. I was sitting on the couch. I distinctly recall before I did sing the new you, I wanted to see myself better. I asked, like, to show me myself better. So I sang the new you, and I saw myself on the real side. In my apartment, there was a big mirror on one wall. And I stood up, I looked at myself in the mirror, and I could see all of these little distorted shades and, like, images of myself coming out of, like, the central reflection that I saw. And whenever I would turn around, they weren't there. They would disappear. And this happened a little over and over. And then suddenly another being appeared within my apartment. It was, right now I don't recall who it was. I do recall the ominous feeling that I sensed I was getting off of him. So I just shifted my position. At that time, I would spin, and then I would find myself somewhere else. So that's what I did. I spun, I found myself somewhere else. And this time I was outside looking at this big grayish factory-looking, like, building. And I just remember, like, feeling all off and gross when I was looking at it, and just distinctly remember thinking, man, I really don't want to go in there. And I trained my focus a little to the side of the building where there was a sort of restaurant where people were going in and out, unloading boxes and stuff like that. And I was like, man, I really don't want to go in there. And I know this building was a demonstration of just, like, the industrial complex that, you know, reigns over this earth right now, just working and factory production and all that stuff. And I knew that's what that represented. And I was looking at it, and I don't want to go in there. I'm like, the sky's all gray and gross over it. Ah, so bad. So I turned around, and as soon as I turned around, I saw this huge, majestic forest just traveling out in the distance in front of me. And the sky was blue and bright and just brilliant, and it was amazing. And as I kept looking at the forest, it seemed to breathe and grow and just get bigger and bigger as I looked at it. And I distinctly remember thinking, feeling rather, that, man, I kind of really want to go see what's in there. I was a little tentative, but it was definitely a better option than going into that big building. So I lifted myself up. I floated because I can float on the I can fly on the real side. I floated a bit closer to the building, and I landed on a hill. And that's when another being appeared behind me, and I sensed him. I turned around, and I'm pretty sure it was the same being that appeared within my the apartment earlier on in the experience. And he comes to me, and he's like, "Hey, I have a part-time job for you." I'm like, "No, I really don't want your job. I'm good. I'm fine." And I remember feeling annoyed because he was distracting me because I really wanted to go into the forest. And he just kept bothering me. So at that point, I left the experience and I woke up again.
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks, Eric. Yeah, your experiences are cool. And like I said earlier, anyone can sing the new you, test it for themselves and have these experiences. And, you know, you can decide your experience. Like you said, you can fly on the real side. And I remember hearing experiences you've had before where you're falling from the sky or something and you just decide to grow a pair of wings, and you can do these things on the real side, and you can have these real adventures. So it's cool that you're sharing them so others can see, you know, what is possible, which is much more than people have agreed is possible here on the earth. And so it's just, yeah, it's really cool. And did you want to say what you saw from that experience?
Sure. The one I just shared, well, what I saw was that big building represented a lot of the systems in this earth that keep people trapped in repeating cycles. It represented the military-industrial complex, just production and going nowhere and just all of that. And then when I turned around and I saw the big forest, that represented to me the all-natural environment and the whole of life. And it might seem a little scary because, as you're going through it, you don't know what's going to come up. But in comparison to what was behind me, it was definitely much better. It was just so alive that it's just so much better. And it was such a clear comparison, because even as I looked to my left and my right, the sky overhead the forest was clear and beautiful, and the sky overhead the building was dingy and gray. And you could clearly see that divide, along the where I was standing.
Wonderful, Eric. That's cool. And, you know, you can see a lot from your experiences, and anyone can decide, you know, there's so many different views you can get from the experience. And really it's about deciding to see what makes sense and how you can become more aware from the experience. So yeah, it's cool. A lot of people, they're here on earth and they don't recognize that their dreams or real side experiences are there for them to recognize more and to become more aware. And so it's just cool to hear that you're doing that, and you can, you know, encourage others and to do so by sharing your experience. So yeah, it's super cool. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we can go to some callers now. Tim from Oregon, did you want to ask Eric a question or say something?
Sure. Hi, Eric and everybody. As you studied the aliens, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. As a comparison, before you found out about the new presentation, what you knew of the aliens, and like an example, maybe you could say, did you know about aliens tap lining humans, like maybe reptilians, and what they're doing to this physical world we live on? Were you aware of stuff about that before the new presentation?
So when I was researching the alien and the ET trader thing, I wasn't aware of tap lines and what they were. What I was aware of in relation to that subject was that the aliens were not only abducting the physical bodies and like the natural resources, but they were also somehow stealing people's energy, which now we know is part of the tap lining. But that's about as much as I knew about tap lining at that point. And at that point, they called it They said it was like stealing louche or, you know, emotional energy.
And what do you see these reptilians doing here in this, on our planet Earth right now?
Pathfinding a whole bunch of people. But it is, they use the tap lines to help support their system of control and authority over people and help instill fear into the general population to keep that entire system going and repeating and cycling. Now, I'm not going to say it's all reptilians because for me, I like taking beings on an individual basis, but for the most part, there is a large number of reptilians and alien tapliners that are doing this, that are taplining people and, you know, basically stealing their energy and life force and stuff like that. And it's very real. It's very real. I even have had experiences stealing tap lines within my back. And, yeah.
Would you say that you know or they know why they came into this physical realm?
The reptilians?
Or any of the aliens? Or ourselves?
I would say, I think they know what they're doing in the sense, like, when they make the choice to do something like that, when they commit to the action. But I don't think, like most people, they don't know the reason they're here in creation. And, well, we know that the reason that we're here in creation is to become more aware of the true reality that life is and to also share that reality with everybody else through the knowledge and the references and stuff like that. But for the most part, no, I don't think a lot of people really know on a grander scale what they're doing. And that includes the aliens and the alien civilization.
Would you think that they knew about the other planes or worlds or levels in creation?
Yeah, I would think so. Well, maybe not all of the species, but I do think so that there are some alien civilizations that do know about the other realms, like the astral realm, the causal realm, and stuff like that. I mean, just looking at guessing at how old these civilizations are, and how advanced their particular technologies are, and even maybe how advanced their own personal abilities are, like the Orions and stuff like that. Yeah, I think some of them are aware of the other life levels. But it can be just as confusing living on those other life levels as it can in the physical.
Do you think they have an intent of what they're here on our planet Earth for?
Really, you have to see, you have to look at the viewpoint because from, let me try to give an example. When this is how a lot of the reptilians have been surviving. This is how they feel they need to survive, I think. Well, which we know there's always a better way to live, but I think they feel like this is how they need to survive. This is what they need to survive, to steal people's energies and tap line and stuff like that. And it's the same way I think that some humans view livestock and stuff like that as food and nothing more, really. So... Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, thanks, Tim. And Dean Val is also here with us. And Dean Val, did you have any questions for Eric here?
Thanks, Eric, for coming on and sharing your story. It's fun listening to you. I come from a small country, too, in Northern Europe. It's like Haiti. It's a little different, but we also, background is that we did recognize nature. The people were very much into nature. I have a feeling the Haitians are, too. I wonder if you could talk about maybe your experience or your relation to Haiti. Maybe you speak Creole. Can you talk about Iwa and the voodoo there maybe and how it relates to maybe your upbringing? See, in Latvia, we were I just saw the story where you're talking. We are in the nature, too. So I was there visiting one year, and we were on a bus ride, four-hour bus ride, and about 2 hours into the ride, the bus driver says, okay, everybody, we're going to stop and go pick mushrooms. So I thought that was kind of strange, you know. So everybody gets off the bus and kind of spreads out and goes their own way. And I noticed some people are going behind trees and stuff like that. And it was a bathroom break, you know. You know, a potty break, but he just kind of, everything is kind of related to nature and what their traditions and animistic kind of, you know, the thunder god and sun kind of worshiping or, you know, recognizing the sun and all that. So I see Haiti is what kind of a little cool country there. Columbus landed there. I guess his first landing was there. And just wondering how that relates to, or does it even relate to what, you know, your upbringing and how you see things. Maybe you can describe that.
Sure. Well, I have a lot of views on Haiti and Haitian culture. I would just like to say, I'm 27 now. I haven't been to Haiti since I was around 15. I speak little bits of Creole here and there, mostly enough just to understand context. My grandmother has a pretty big estate in the capital, and a lot of tenants that live on her land and stuff like that. She's pretty well off by Haitian standards. But I would say the last time I visited Haiti, the capital is developed. It's pretty developed, concrete roads, concrete buildings, airport, electricity, all of that stuff, generators and all of that stuff. But as you sprawl out, it becomes less developed. Dirt roads, a lot more nature, which it was really beautiful. We went to the beach and it was really nice. We also went up to the mountain. But what's happening in Haiti, I'm sure in like the remote places they might still practice voodoo and like the old spiritual practices and stuff like that. But a lot of Haitians have been what's the word, Christianized. A lot of them worship God and the Christian God and all of that stuff, and pray and all that stuff. But Haiti does have a really interesting history that I briefly looked into. That whole island, including the Dominican Republic, used to be inhabited by an indigenous group known as the Tainos, who were so much more in tune with nature than a lot of the people that live on that big island now. And they worked with the land and they worked with nature and all that stuff. And then, you know, Columbus and his ships came over and pretty much decimated like 90% of the population of them. But I think, like with most of this world, Haiti has potential to, you know, be a pretty cool place if they, you know, learn how to work with the environment again and put down a lot of the values that Western civilization upholds, like monetary wealth and appearances and stuff like that. Oh, and yeah. mind you, there is like a cultural habit of being really into appearances amongst the Haitian people, and Haitian people have a nice silent pride about them. And my mother did say once it stems from the fact that Haiti was one of the first countries, if not the first country on the Western Hemisphere, to liberate itself from European colonial rule. So I think that's really important to the Haitian culture. But like I think with a lot of this world, I think Haiti has a lot of potential to be a really cool place if they, you know, embrace real values, working and supporting the all-natural environment. I think that'd be really important. You know, one of my goals would be to like to share some of those real values with the Haitian people and Haitian culture. So, yeah.
Yeah, are there any more the indigenous Taíno there, living there?
The Taíno? I don't think there are any full-blooded Taíno that still live in Haiti.
Interesting. They're all wiped out. Jeez. Wow.
Yeah.
So they're all mixed with Spanish, French.
Because Haiti was one of the first islands that all those navigators landed on. So when it became part of the slave trade, it didn't matter really where in Africa they got the slaves from. They were pretty much all mixed together and dumped there. And before the entire Taíno population was wiped out, you know, people like to have fun. So, you know, there's a nice mix of a lot of the different cultures, French, European, little of the Taíno, a lot of the West African stuff, and a lot of the cultures that, like, the societies that live around there, like Puerto Rico and the Spanish cultures and stuff like that. So there's a big mix. You can really see that in the food.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Look, my experience was like the Native American Indian and the Latvians, who are in the nature pretty much. I mean, in their deepest part, they really love it. And other indigenous people, I mean, they see, you know, they support nature and are with it, but they're kind of like everybody else in a certain way, that what we're presenting is kind of beyond them, because they do see how nature supports them and how it's real and how it makes sense. It's still, they could almost, I'm just, from my experience with the Latvians when I was over there presenting certain things, which was during the time when I was in the corporation, Ekankar, they still were pretty much entrenched in you know, their ceremonies or rituals about with nature, you know, doing fires and dances and things that related to nature, but they still couldn't get beyond into seeing what we're presenting, which is, you know, beyond all that, which is fine. It's a start, but still it's a big challenge for us to get, you know, to help people to see, even if they want to see it, beyond even what they call nature here and all that. So, you know, thanks for sharing, Eric.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. I'm actually writing my first book at the moment, and last night I was going over a real sad experience I had where I was asked to see my past lives, and the guide showed me, you know, lots of them, and some of them were in, you know, these wonderful places like the Pacific Islands, where everybody's living with the natural environment. There's wonderful fruits everywhere, and it's warm, and everything's pretty cool for the most part. But these people, they're still worshiping some kind of gods. You know, like they're trying to understand how wonderful the natural environment is, which is, you know, a reflection of the all is, and the all is supports the isness life, is supports all life everywhere. in the all-natural environment is everywhere. But they didn't recognize the purity, the sincerity, the gratitude, the isness, and the all-is that is. And so they use these different deities and gods, these ideas to understand and worship and really give thanks to life. But realistically, they're just supporting gods that were restricting them, which were probably the same reptilians that are in charge now, which are multi-dimensional, physical, astral, you know, or mental level beings. And so, in a way, you know, the Columbus coming over, like you said, Val, he first got to Haiti, and the people there, they supported the natural environment, but they didn't have the awareness to keep their position without being controlled, because the Europeans, they had their weapons and so forth. And so fast forward till now, the world's gotten a lot worse, realistically, compared to, well, the environment on the earth has gotten a lot worse, but because people have experienced so much more restrictions, they now have the awareness to recognize that they don't need any authorities or restrictions, and they can decide their lives and they can make sense of things every moment. And that's where we come in, and that's what we're sharing, is that you don't need authorities and restrictions, and you can recognize the real universe is in your real awareness. So yeah, it was cool listening to you both just then. And we don't have any more calls. Had a few people popping in and out, Eric, but I was hoping you could share with people, some people listening, they might not already be aware of tap lining or reptilians and what they're doing to people on the astral level and how to fix them here physically. And maybe it's a bit scary for them right now to further investigate it. But could you share with people how some of the ways that some of the things you do here to so-called cope and just like be okay here? And what do you do to, you know, go and experience the natural environment even when you're in a so-called unnatural place, like a city where there's cars and power lines and Wi-Fi and things? Do you go and put your feet in the dirt most days, or hug trees, or what do you do to support the natural environment where you're at?
Sure. So I really like being out in nature. And when situations in my life seem to be really heavy and things seem to be really hard, I like to go outside and take a nice deep breath and just calm my mind and calm my body down and just listen to the wind and listen to the birds singing. I usually take my shoes off and I'll just stand in the grass and just wiggle my toes and just feel the grass and just close my eyes and just be for a little bit. And that really helps a lot of the time. I love the ocean. I love swimming. I love being in the ocean. I love being at the sea. I can't wait to surf with you guys when I get over there in California. I love the wind. I love the sky. Flying is so much fun on the real side. But here in the physical, you could just get up somewhere high and just let the wind blow through your hair and just feel it on your skin. You know, you don't have to let the troubles like weigh you down so much. But one of the ways I do like supporting the all-natural environment here is really, like, not littering, picking up trash every now and then when I see it along my path, making sure I recycle, just little things here and there. One of these days I'm going to get a car that runs on water. That'll be cool. Or a vehicle that runs on water, even if it's a little bike, I don't care. That'll be cool. Because we don't need to be burning fossil fuels and stuff like that. But there's so much that each individual can just do to support the all-natural environment that's here on the Earth itself. You don't really have to do anything super big. You can just start making little better choices in your life, in your own personal life and stuff like that. to show that you support the all-natural environment. But, yeah, I like being outside a lot, going for walks, going for hikes through the woods. There's a lot of parks here in New Jersey, lots of trees. And I love sitting underneath oak trees and any type of tree and just feeling its presence, its calm presence, and just its being. And, yeah, I do hug trees sometimes, and they hug me back, and it's really nice.
Cool. Thanks, Eric. It's been fun. I'll just open the lines here and see if anyone has anything else to say before I wrap up the show here, guys. Okay, well, I don't hear anyone, but I just wanted to say thanks, Eric, for coming on and sharing. The show will be up on YouTube soon. And anybody can test the new you sound for themselves to get your own answers from life and on the real side life is, which is really fun. It's really cool. And you can contact Eric with any questions you might have. Like I said, his website is here in the description of the show. You can also find him on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And Eric's super cool, super chill, as you can hear here. And so thanks for listening. And you can go to the website www.nufoundation.org or .club to find the All Solar Research Vessel business plan, or you can contact any of us, myself, Eric, Kelsey, Dean Val, Tim, on Facebook or anywhere else you can find us, or via the wonderful worldwideeducators.com website here in the description of the show. So thanks, everybody, and we can finish up by giving people an example of what the new you, new sound sounds like. So do you want to go ahead, everybody? Just whenever it happens, just, yeah, sing the new you.
New you.
Okay, thanks, guys. We'll see you next time. On Friday, we have another show with Pierce Fennell from the UK with Meet the New Kids. Okay, bye-bye for now.